afternoon. This is Cross Currents. I'm Kristen Kay. Bear Matthews is the co-founder and CEO of the Tardigrade Group. His company guides startups through developing their idea into a public brand. But Bear Matthews is a junior at Basalt High School, and all the startups that the Tardigrade Group has worked with are run by teenagers. Bear admits that it's somewhat of a novelty to have a company run by teens for teens, but he's serious about this venture, and he's driven by the creativity he sees in his generation. Bear Matthews, thank you so much for being here today.
It's my pleasure.
So I just want to start by talking about Tardigrade, your company. Can you talk about the idea?
Sure. So myself and my co-founder, Sebastian Rodriguez, had been in the startup community. I say for a while, but I mean, we're all teenagers, so for a year or two prior to founding Tardigrade. And we'd personally found and felt the difficulties that really just came of being a teenage founder in the startup world, the lack of resources, lack of eyes on your product, and lack of community looking to help you. And that really grounded the founding vision for Tardigrade to be a resource hub for teenage entrepreneurs, not just founders, and I'll make that distinction. We're really here to educate and provide our resources for anybody who's looking to create something bigger than what they'll find in a generic educational system.
You talked about some of the challenges that you face, but what are some challenges that are unique to being a teenager, do you think? Because some of those seem like for any startup, they would face that.
Lack of credibility. Mm. I mean, you look at a teenager's resume and it's, you know, I interned at this bagel shop. Mm. It's not really what you'll find from a 28, 30, 40-year-old man or woman. So when you walk into a venture capitalist board looking for, I don't know, $200,000-$300,000, you've got no history behind you. Mm. You've got a vision, which may be brilliant, but you've got no proven track record of this is what I'm capable of and this is what I'm capable of executing. And I think that's the largest problem that I see on a daily basis. Why should I invest both my trust and my financial capital in somebody who I know nothing about, or, you know, they hardly know themselves? Mm-hmm. So,
do you have any specific stories about people that maybe didn't take you seriously?
A few. We've been around the block with a few venture capitalists and just walked in the door and almost been laughed at. Mm-hmm. Our pitch decks have been, you know, I like to say that they're brilliant. And all our numbers were there, but we were nobodies. At the end of the day, we were 15, 16, 17, with great ambitions, and we knew that we had the right team to execute those visions. But at the end of the day, a lot of teenagers get laughed at. Mm. And, you know, you can take that as a sad way, but also in a disappointing way. A loss of possibility to a great extent.
Mm-hmm. You talked about kind of external challenges. How about internal challenges? What was it like for you to establish a team and learn to work together?
It's awkward. Firstly, because we're a global company, so we don't have any one office in any one city. So you have that challenge, which a lot of companies have found solutions around. But also, I mean, what is talent when it comes down to teenagers? How do you distinguish between one marketing expert and another? Nobody's an expert, but one's just good at it. And for my team, it comes a lot down to personality. There's a huge pool of willing and capable teenagers who can, you know, stand in front of a 10-board venture capitalist. But very few can work with a financial team to accomplish a $300,000, you know, financial raise. Mm-hmm. So it comes a lot down to personality, how well they can work with our unit and accomplish our mission.
I'm wondering, like, what do you look for in startups that you are the incubator for?
Beyond anything else, I always say it's passion. Mm. A lot of people want to become the next Mark Zuckerberg and have that title to them. If you're in it for the title, Tardigrade isn't right for you. Mm-hmm. Just because we're here to reinvest our resources into the future generation, And the future generation isn't made up of titles. It's made up of passionate individuals who are willing to make a change in their community. And beyond anything else, that's precisely what we look for.
Mm-hmm. What are some startups that you have helped with that you're particularly proud of?
There's a few. So one is run by a wonderful kid by the name of Matt Stredry out of New York. He's running a startup called Dada Fund. Awkward names, I know. His startup is basically rounding up every purchase that anybody makes on their credit cards. And then at the end of every week, month, year, they get to donate all those roundups, which are now collected to thousands of dollars, to a given charity of their choice. So again, it comes back to the mantra of doing first and doing back to your community. Mm-hmm. And I think he's set to launch in about 2 weeks from now. So we're excited for that.
That's exciting.
Yeah.
So do adults have a role in your company at all?
Yes. Mm-hmm. That was part of the founding mission. We can't just be this company that's out there and it's run mm-hmm. by teenagers. I mean, it's great for PR and marketing mm-hmm. just because everybody wants to help the next biggest teenage run startup. Mm. But there does need to be some oversight, some greater knowledge. So we have a brilliant advisory board filled with individuals who are experts in their fields. It's made up of 8 individuals right now across the world again. And they have their hands in everything from marketing to financial campaigns, design, product development, fashion, just about anything you can think of.
So what is the need that you saw that Tardigrade fills? Do you feel like teenagers were creative but under the radar or being ignored by larger entities?
I mean, creativity is something that I talk about a lot and I'm definitely passionate about, just because organic creativity is so rare to find in teenagers nowadays that when you do find it, you want to embrace it and support it so that it can thrive. The educational system that many teenagers sit in today usually pushes them to shy away from creativity, not because it's not useful, just because it's not how the system was laid out to, it's not what the system was laid out to support. If you look at some of the largest movements and innovations of the last century, none of them came of inside-the-box thinking, period. So if we can really just sprinkle seeds everywhere, embracing every teenager's creativity, then all we can hope for is one to sprout.
I want to get back to your ideas about school because I think that's really interesting. But also I want to talk about you and your company a little bit more. How do you see yourself as kind of shattering the mold of what society says a teenager should be or should be talking about or should be doing?
Well, I mean, just being an incubator for teenager-run startups really shatters the glass right off the bat.
Mm-hmm.
The day that we launched, we were the only incubator for teenage-run startups in the world. It was really unheard of. Once in a while, a teenage-run startup would get into, like, Y Incubator, Y Combinator, sorry. Or some large incubator system through some large corporation. But there was never one company devoted to reinvesting in the future generation. And so with that, that was our niche right there.
One thing, you know, you talked about partnerships with companies or with adults. Your generation has really grown up with technology in a way that so many of us and so many of our listeners haven't. And you're so adept at like using social media to promote yourselves and businesses. Do you ever feel like you actually know more than the adults that you're trying to bring on board?
I wouldn't say we know more because anything can be read in a book. We just have a natural instinct for it.
Mm-hmm.
From the fact that we've grown up with it and it's almost a second language for all of us, comes with the idea that, you know, it's something that can't be taught in education. It's a feel for a new type of marketing.
Are you uneasy about social media at all? Like, a lot of adults are going to listen to that and
kind of feel some worry in the pit of their stomach.
I wouldn't say I'm uneasy about it. I am ambitious to see where the next 5 years take social media, just because it is a turning era from the digital marketing side of things.
Here's what I think. I think a lot of people are probably listening to this and thinking you're pretty extraordinary.
That's a worry.
not to embarrass you or make you blush, but are you, do you think, and I don't mean this bad, but do you think actually you're not, and there are a lot of young people who are like you, and you've kind of just created something that's more visible?
Most definitely. I mean, whenever we look to, I don't know, hire a new marketing associate or anything like that, and we look at the pool of teenagers and the potential that we, you know, who do we bring in? And suddenly there's a list of, I don't know, 10,000-15,000 people.
Mm.
It's like, wow. It sort of makes you take a step back for a moment and really, A, realize your influence, and B, realize the possibility for growth. So no, not in any way are we an isolated, I don't want to say incident, but isolated case. There are teenagers all over the world creating, I don't know, fashion companies, applications in their backyard.
You're listening to Cross Currents. I'm Kristen Kay. Today, we're talking with Bear Matthews, the 17-year-old co-founder and CEO of the Tardigrade Group. His company is an incubator for teenage-run startups. You were born in New York.
Mm-hmm.
You've lived in London and LA,
yep,
New York now again, now Basalt.
Yes.
How instrumental has kind of travel and living in different places, different countries even, been to you?
Well, I grew up in the countryside of England, and that was always, I'm a very calm person. I think that's where I got the calmness from, just not having anything on my doorstep growing up. Having to get by with whatever was there and just occupy yourself, read a book. And then after 8-9 years in England, I moved to New York, and that's where my real competitive startup instinct really grew, I would say.
Why?
Lack of eyes, lack of attention. To stand out in a big city like New York or Brooklyn, you really have to be doing something spectacular to get anywhere. And that really opened my mind to the bigger picture of possibilities. You know, you can always work at the local coffee shop or whatever, but if you really want to be known as the person driving change, you're going to have to ignite a conversation around something that you truly care about. And I think I really found that side of me in New York. And then I moved to LA. I gotta tell you, it's not my favorite place.
Mm.
People are weird. The traffic's bad.
So bad.
But the weather's beautiful. So I don't know. Maybe I'll go back there one day once everything works out. And then I'm here. And I love Basalt because it's almost a refreshing breath of air, which, you know, I get to run this brilliant incubator for teenage-run startups. But at the same time, I get to go hike up Mount Sopris. And you can do it all within one day. It's this weird juxtaposition between two very, very different worlds, which awkwardly works perfectly.
Mm. That's interesting.
Yeah.
How about family? How has family supported you?
It definitely supportive right now.
Uh-huh.
Starting up, it was a bit awkward, just because it's slightly unheard of. I launched my first startup company with Sebastian also, called GoRound, which was basically a behavioral analysis app. And at that point, I don't think anybody really knew what to think, just because it was taking it that one step beyond a project. We were looking for financing options. And there is no rule book or layout as to how to support a teenage founder in that essence.
Mm.
So, I mean, I say it's been a learning curve for me. I definitely think it's been a learning curve and an experience for everybody who supports me. Mm. But as of today, I mean, my family knows everything that I'm doing. They're supportive. It's almost just like a secondary education. There's no difference between the two at times.
Hmm. That brings us back to school. And I want to talk about if you have a vision or if you see a world in which school could help somebody develop something like this, because it sounds like, and correct me if I'm wrong, but it sounds like you have your professional world and then kind of the school stuff.
They don't necessarily complement each other at times. I'll leave that out there.
What do you mean?
Just because I have a great care for high school education, but I also have a reputation to uphold and a team to take care of with tardigrade. So they're both very demanding on the time side of things, and it comes back to that, you know, same old topic of there's not enough hours in the day. And school isn't designed to be supportive of somebody running a company, period, especially high school education.
What are your fixes? Do you have ideas?
I wouldn't say it needs to be fixed. It needs to evolve.
Mm-hmm.
Our current educational system was designed to complement and educate our youth from a 1922-25 standpoint. Almost like an industrial era. You learn this, you do it, you repeat it, you do it again. It's structured and it's brilliant in that way, but if you're really looking to evolve a generation of game changers, nothing's going to be structured at the end of the day. And it comes back to that previous point that some of the most beautiful inventions and movements of this decade and the last century were unstructured. They were outside the box.
You mentioned that you're taking AP classes as well at Basalt High School.
Yes.
I would like your time management secrets, please. do you feel stressed out?
I'm not sure if I have any time management secrets. My English teachers may have something to say here with a few outstanding assignments, but I think you have to look at what you've got on your plate and really decide what's more important to you at that specific moment. You're gonna fail at something. You've got to. You can't excel at both. And that's coming from somebody who, you know, runs a startup incubator for teenagers worldwide and is attending high school full time. It's crazy. And that's part of the reason why we're looking to reinvest so many of our resources into the future of education, just because we see the potential that comes of what we're doing, but also the resources and capabilities that would be found if it was backed by the educational system.
Do you have specific things that you're looking at?
The technology fields specifically. It always comes down to the money with most things. After school activities, one thing that we've been doing is putting on an events lineup for teenagers, whether it be bringing in accredited speakers in the marketing field and sitting them down with a group of 40, 50, 60 teenagers and just having them mash it out. Or having like a full day seminar with almost like a TED series, but solely for teenagers. I wouldn't say I have any solution to the educational market or educational system. It's just an evolution is required, especially in the next 15 years. And I think that will be found as less and less kids go to college. Right now, a lot of kids are questioning the value of a college education. And personally, I value the experience of it. Whether I value the piece of paper that you get at the end is a question mark. Simply because outside of, I don't know, a medical degree or aerospace engineering degree, most marketplaces, you learn everything you need to do, everything you need to know in the first 2 weeks of actually having a full-time job there. Mm. So it's awkward, and it's an awkward question for a lot of college applicants these days.
That was Bear Matthews, the 17-year-old co-founder and CEO of the Tardigrade Group, an incubator for teenage-run startups. You're listening to Cross Currents. I'm Kristen Kay. We'll continue our conversation in just a moment. And how about for you personally, as far as education? What are some next steps for you?
Well, I mean, the scary thing is that this time next year, I'll know where I'm going to college and where I'm attending. Unfortunately, that also means that I have about 6 or 7 months until I have to start doing something about it. So you see, I often get asked, and wrongfully questioned, whether I even care about secondary education and beyond that college. So to address those questions first, I absolutely care about both. I wouldn't be standing here today with Tardigrade reinvesting all our resources into them if I didn't. But personally, the educational cycle isn't that different from the product development cycle. That being that the time between iterations in methods of learning is essential to long-term growth. So with new and evolving learning methods and almost through the application of technology in education, efficiency rates of identifying a struggling student and then altering their learning method are becoming quicker and quicker, which is brilliant. But learning is slowly being perfected. However, that is perfecting a student to think inside the box. Mm. The beauty of creativity, however, is a whole nother story. It's cycleless. It can't be strengthened through efficient iterations of methods because there isn't such thing as wrong creativity. All you have is the absence of it. Mm-hmm. So going off of that thought, arguably, as I've said before, every great invention in the last century has come with creativity. And personally, looking to college in the next 4 months, that's weird to say.
A little scary.
Yeah. I would be looking for a college to support creative thinking and expansion of personal ideals rather than this is our agenda, this is what you've got to learn, check these off the box, and we'll give you a piece of paper saying that you got a degree in architecture. Mm-hmm. I don't find that to be worth it for many people, especially not myself. So to answer your question, I'm definitely looking in-state, CU Boulder, just because it's a brilliant startup community and I love the people down there. And then I've also said I'll go back to the East Coast if I had the chance. Mm-hmm. So I'll be looking at design universities down there. I've always had a large interest in architecture and environmental design. But really, when it comes down to anything at the end of the day, I'll be looking for an institute to support what I'm already doing. And an institute that is flexible to new ideals of what education should look like.
I think that's so interesting the way you put that. An institute that will support what you're already doing, because I think the perception of the college application process, which you're kind of embarking on, is that students prove themselves. Like, I'm proving that I have the grades and the test scores and that I've been involved in all these activities. I'm wondering what you think about
jumping. I think the whole testing program is ridiculous in itself, mm-hmm. simply because, at this point, I go down to the numbers. If you look at the people who finance the testing educational system, it's the schools themselves, it's private contractors, it's the colleges. And that's just awkward because what you're really doing there is funding a lack of education. You're funding for somebody to fail. And personally, I find that to be utterly ridiculous. When you truly look at somebody's strengths, it can't be found on a 25 in math and a 16 in science, because who knows what they care about at that point. And again, in those testing scenarios, creativity is nowhere to be found. And when you're really looking to make a change, as we are, that's all that matters.
Okay, last question.
You got it.
What's on tap for you and the Tardigrade Company in 2018?
So personally, I want to expand the events program. I gave my team the wild, wild goal of hitting 40 events by the end of 2020, which they kind of laughed at me at. But I mean, hopefully for 2018, we're going to bring in 4 new startups across any field that really spikes our interests. We've got 3 of them lined up right now. I haven't announced anything. Hopefully we'll announce by February. Still looking for a 4th. The events lineup, we're looking to do hopefully around 12 cities this year, 8 major US and then another 4 abroad. And hopefully just building sustainable infrastructure to really support our long-term goals. And just this last, I think it was October, we launched our web services platform, which was really like the financial revenue of everything, because it's great to be an incubator for teenage-run startups, but it doesn't really make money.
Mm.
It's almost a non-profit operation. So my finance team kind of gave me the hard eye and said, we need to do something about this. So we launched that, and hopefully that will grow over the 2018 year. And I mean, long-term, we're looking to build a sustainable infrastructure to take us through 2024. So...
And pass AP Lit.
And pass AP Lit. And math. And a few more. I'll let other people tell you about that.
All right, Bear, thank you so much for coming in today.
Absolutely. Thank you.
You've been listening to Cross Currents. I'm Kristen Kay. Thanks to Bear Matthews, the 17-year-old co-founder and CEO of the Tardigrade Group, an incubator for teenage-run startups. This is Cross Currents on Aspen Public Radio. If you missed today's show, you can go to our website, aspenpublicradio.org. Cross Currents is a production of Aspen Public Radio.